Hello, hello. This is Interneted. I'm Michael Bird.
And I'm Rob Murgatroyd.
And welcome to our show about tech, gadgets, and the internet by a couple of blokes who are always being asked how to fix most of it. Isn't that right, Roberto?
What an introduction that is. I love it. Yes, that is absolutely correct, Michael. How are you doing this week?
Very good. Can you roll your R's?
Yes. No. No, I can't.
Yes.
Can you roll your tongue?
Yeah, it's a great podcast. It doesn't work quite so well. It doesn't work quite so well for radio.
You do it.
Yeah, anyway, I'm doing all right this week. I'm doing all right. Yeah.
Very good. Well, on this show, welcome everyone to Interneted. We will be sharing our tech knowledge with you and keeping you informed with all the latest tech news and updates from around the internet.
Yeah.
We won't be doing anything else today. We're not.
Oh, that's it. That's it.
Museum of Retro Tech. It's a week off this week. It's sweet. Shut for the
bank holiday.
Bank holiday. Sure.
Yeah. All right. Well, so buckle up, sit back, relax, and enjoy the show from two blokes in our spare bedrooms. This is Interneted.
Lovely jubbly.
Ooh, lovely jubbly.
It's time to start the show, Michael. And as you know, we always like to start the show, and actually today it's the main content of the show, to bring you, the listener, all the most interesting bits of news from around the world of tech. We'll be sifting through the singing bird feeders, face irons, and gaming toothbrushes, so you don't have to.
Face irons?
Yes.
What's a face? Is that for people with wrinkly skin?
Yes, and it doesn't just work on the face, it works on all parts of your body. It heats it up and smooths it out, according to their website. So, you know.
Leaves you with third degree burns. But.
Anyone that's looking for a face iron. If you didn't know they existed, you do
Faceiron.com.
Face irons. They're a thing. Whether you want to use them or not, whether you trust them, that's up to you. But you know.
I think I might give it a pass.
Well, you've got lovely skin already.
Thank you. Thank you. You too, sir. You too. All right. Should I go first?
Yes. Okay.
So you know, I think we talked a little bit last week about Dogecoin, didn't we?
We did indeed. We were back in person.
Oh yeah.
Face to face.
Should we just quickly discuss that? So last week we did an episode. You came to my house and we sat in our garden.
Did.
Sat in my garden, not we don't own the house. My garden.
One day, if these Dogecoins do well.
Yeah. I'll be in the East Wing. You'll be in the garage.
Lovely.
So we did it in person. Did you enjoy it?
I loved it. I thought it was fantastic. I think people particularly enjoyed the ambience of the the brisk wind that day.
There was ambience. I mean, there's a similar ambience if I'm looking out the window now. It's raining. I don't know if it's raining where you are, Rob.
Oh yes.
But it's raining where I am. So yeah, I think similar ambience to last week. But yeah, I enjoyed it. So I think we should do it again.
Absolutely. So maybe when the weather's a little bit nicer.
Yeah, we'll do it. We'll do it. Lying across picnic blankets on the lawn.
We'll just be lying, staring up at the clouds, guessing which ones they are. Just holding microphones. What does that one look like to you, Michael?
We'll do a cloud cast. Just do 30 minutes of us talking about clouds. Nice. All right. We should acknowledge it.
Yeah. I didn't want to say the first part of that word.
It's my least favourite
part.
So just knowledge.
Ugh. Just knowledge.
So should I talk about? Should I give you the first bit of news? Now we've knowledge.
Go on then. I'll let you.
Okay. So we talked about Dogecoin last week. And so Dogecoin is a cryptocurrency. A cryptocurrency is it's a currency that exists on the internet using cryptography to verify payments. It's different to a normal currency like the pound or the dollar in the sense there's no central bank. So there's lots of intricate elements to it, but essentially there exists what's called a central ledger. So basically a book of every single transaction that's ever been made on a cryptocurrency, it's called on a blockchain, and that ledger is shared with everyone, and everyone can see it, and so therefore there's no one central place that ledger lives. It lives on everyone's everyone who's using it. It lives kind of everywhere. So basically, you can't kind of make a cryptocurrency. You can't make it from scratch. you have to mine cryptocurrency. And that's a little bit what we're going to be talking about this week. And mining cryptocurrency uses a lot of electricity.
It does.
Because essentially what you're doing is you're using computing power to solve maths problems. Or if you're American, what do they say, Rob?
Math.
Yes, they solve math problem.
Yes. problem.
Yeah, they don't put the S on the... I don't think they put the... I think they just leave all the
like
S's
me,
off.
Leaving ack out of every word.
Yeah, knowledge the math problem. and which is why it's been... I think we talked about this earlier in the year. Lots of GPUs, graphical process, graphics cards, essentially, have been released towards the end of last year. And they are really hard to get hold of because, firstly, there is a shortage of chips because of COVID, but also lots of crypto miners are buying up graphics cards because graphics cards are perfect for solving these maths problems. So that's the kind of base layer. So cryptocurrency is a thing, it's decentralized, and it uses a lot of electricity. Now, a few months ago, I think Elon Musk tweeted in support of Bitcoin. And he
did indeed.
Through Tesla, they purchased a lot of Bitcoin, didn't they? I think they bought maybe $100 million worth of Bitcoin, something ridiculous.
Several million of it, yeah.
Maybe it wasn't 100 million, that sounds a ridiculous amount. Let's say $1 million, who knows, of Bitcoin. And Elon Musk was tweeting about it, and the cost of Bitcoin went up, price of Bitcoin went up, sorry. And then he talked about Dogecoin, which is another cryptocurrency very, very similar to Bitcoin. Now, Bitcoin is the cryptocurrency that kind of started all cryptocurrencies. And Dogecoin is a, essentially it's a joke cryptocurrency.
It's designed as, I think they call it a meme cryptocurrency to sort of poke fun of the whole idea of a cryptocurrency, wasn't it? Which, so they chose a meme as its front runner.
Exactly. Doge is that dog that's like much wow and things like that. I think the developer said they developed Dogecoin in a couple of hours. Like, it was kind of like it was a bit of a joke.
Yeah.
But the price of Dogecoin has been going up, and we joked about this last week because we put £10 I think into some Dogecoin, and it went up to £100.
It did.
But Elon Musk called cryptocurrency a hustle when he was on Saturday Night Live last week, and the price of it then plummeted.
It did.
And then later in the week, Elon Musk basically said that Tesla is now suspending accepting payments of Bitcoin because it's so inefficient and it uses so much energy and it's so damaging to the environment.
Yeah, so previously you could buy a Tesla car through Bitcoin.
Yeah, using Bitcoin.
Yeah.
You can no longer do that. And he was saying, but he said now that... So Dogecoin, similarly, needs to use computing power to solve those math problems, which is then what rewards people in coins. I probably should explain that. That's you do the math problems and you get rewarded in a Bitcoin or in a Dogecoin. I think Elon is working with the developers, or he said he was going to work with the developers to make it more efficient. So people basically are taking that as Elon doesn't like Bitcoin, but he does like Dogecoin. And he then did a poll this week on Twitter to say, should Tesla accept Dogecoin in payment? And hundreds of thousands of people responded. And I think it was like 70 or 80% people said yes.
Wow. People love it.
So
it's the coin of the people.
Yeah. Elon Musk, he's a frequent source of news on this show.
He is.
Because, I don't know, everything he does just seems incredibly futuristic and just a bit bonkers. So
he has a lot of influence in the tech world, doesn't he?
He does. He does. He does. He really
does. For
better
or for worse.
So, exactly. So, yeah, that's the story. It's a very much going to be a developing story. Should I tell you what the...
Please do. I was desperate to hear how much money we've got at the moment. Are we up or are we down on last week?
Here we go. Well, we're down on last week.
How far away is the dream house?
So, how much is the dream house going to cost?
I think they said the house of the future is worth about $80,000, so...
$80,000. So we are probably short about $799,000.
Wow, it's really gone down.
$910,000.
Okay. There you go. From that, I'm assuming we're worth about £90 now.
Yeah, about £90. Okay. Yeah.
So the What was the lowest though? Because I saw the graph of Dogecoin and it took a massive
It got down to about $69 this week.
Wow. Nice.
But over the year, it's gone up by quite a bit. But I would just like to... So the highest it got to, by the way, was £121 back in the beginning of May. Wow. So, but I just would like to reiterate, just in case anyone is tempted... to take financial advice from either Rob or I. Do not take any financial advice from either Rob or I.
Never take financial advice from us. Although we've made a lot of money, at least maybe 50, 60 pounds.
We've made tens of pounds. Yeah, do not take any financial advice from us. We're the last people you should take financial advice from. But we are doing it
obviously
purely just for the journalistic purposes.
Absolutely. But also, if you do want financial advice, Elon Musk seems to know exactly what he's talking about with cryptocurrency.
He does not. He does not. Don't take advice from
him. He picks one and just sticks with it.
Well, I mean, people are speculating that he is influencing the markets because if he tweets something like Dogecoin is the best, then the price of Dogecoin would go up. But and if he tweeted Dogecoin is the worst, the price would go down.
He's not really got an affiliation with Dogecoin. He's just an independent person, theoretically, isn't he?
Well, yeah, but if he buys a load of Dogecoin and then says
that
Dogecoin
is
the best.
That is dodgy.
If those were stocks and shares, that would be... if you had a fair chunk of it, I don't know. Would that be insider trading?
I don't know. This shows our limited expertise in the matter.
That's why don't take financial advice from us. Okay, cool. Next story. Moving swiftly on.
So something I saw this week. You know I love my video games. You know I love my video games to look as good as possible.
Yes, you do.
I do. I really do. It's something I'm passionate about. Well, Intel have stepped into the arena. And they
hang on. You can't say Intel without doing the tune. You remember in all the adverts, you have to, every time Intel has said it does. So just go from the beginning and then just do the tune when you say Intel.
Okay. So this week we've seen Intel. they've stepped into the world, stepped into the world of gaming. And what they've done is they've taken Grand Theft Auto 5, which was a game, I don't know when it came out, maybe 2012. It's been out for a long old time.
Yeah.
So it's a fairly old game. It doesn't look amazing, but Intel have taken the challenge to try and make GTA 5 look as realistic as possible.
Yeah.
And what they've done is they've captured some gameplay from GTA 5, and they have put it through their machine learning process. So machine learning is, for anyone out there that doesn't know, is essentially taking a bunch of complicated algorithms to train a machine to learn. So over time, this algorithm gets more and more complicated, and it can... what's an alternative for learning? How do you say machine learning without saying machine learning?
So, Rob, is this... So in simple terms, let me just get straight. So in simple terms, machine learning are where machines are learning.
No,
is that what you're saying?
No, it's more like robot training rather than machine learning, actually. You haven't quite got it there. It's okay.
I haven't.
It's
no, complicated. Fair enough. I probably wouldn't understand.
You wouldn't understand.
My little brain.
It's more like machines that can learn, which is...
That's why you need to dumb it down to me. Yeah, okay.
Anyway.
Yeah, fine.
So yes. these complex algorithms and these machines using these algorithms...
Learning.
They're learning to get better and to process things in better ways and become more powerful. And what they did is they ran these videos of the gameplay through this machine learning process to try and make it look more like real life. And the output that they have created is quite creepy. It's almost as if you were watching, you get those dash cam videos of people that just mount a dash cam on their front windscreen. It just looks like that. You're driving down, GTA 5 is set in fictional LA, but it's quite close to real life, I guess. It just looks like you could be driving around LA, around California. It's very creepy. It's sort of photorealistic to a point, but the photo is sort of quite, it's sort of fuzzy dash cam footage, but the lighting and the models and everything looks more realistic than it does in the original game.
I'm just looking at it now. Basically, what they've done is they've really dulled the colours. So it's like, because GTA is quite oversaturated, lots of bright popping colours. So it looks first like desaturated it. Then everything else does look quite real.
It does.
I'm not sure that's the kind of game you'd want to play.
No, you wouldn't. I think games are at this stage.
It's a bit escapism, aren't they? It just feels like you're driving through like, I don't know, like Wickham or something.
I do see what you mean. It is not quite as visually appealing.
No.
But it does look quite realistic.
It does.
The car models, like the way they process everything, it does just look like you've got real car models and real lighting and all that stuff going on. So I'm quite impressed with it, actually. I think this is cool. It's obviously not implemented in a game that you can actually play today. It's just on videos of gameplay. But if this is where it's going in the future and they make it more vibrant and look nicer, I'm all for it. Give me a video game that looks exactly like real life and I'll be very impressed.
See, I quite like cartoony, like...
Oh, I love them too.
Stylized.
Yeah.
Breath of the Wild.
What a game that
Pokemon.
Is.
Pokemon.
Fantastic. Basically anything Nintendo is right up your street.
It is.
Cool.
Yeah, I quite like that stylized style. Should I do the next story?
If you want to, I'll let you.
Yes, I would like to. All right. Hey, Rob. Do you know how much I prefer to not use WhatsApp?
Yeah, we're never going to get sponsored by WhatsApp now. Thanks, Michael. Honestly. Yes, I know you hate WhatsApp.
Okay, so
allegedly.
WhatsApp.
Sorry, allegedly.
Allegedly. I don't hate WhatsApp. Don't say that. Okay, so WhatsApp have got controversial privacy policy that has basically come into effect. So on your phone, it'll ask you to accept a privacy policy. Mm-hmm. And what they have now confirmed is that if you don't accept the privacy policy, which it's up to everyone to pick if they want to do it or not, they plan to... gradually pull features away. I think I mentioned it last week, but this has now been confirmed. So at first you lose access to your chat list, I guess your contact list.
That seems like a big one out of the gate. Won't be able to see the chat histories that you've got.
You basically can't initiate a conversation. So the only way you'll be able to message is if somebody messages you.
Okay.
And then after that, you won't be able to send messages. And you won't be able to receive any calls on your phones. And then basically that's it. You kind of, that's how it
is. I think you mentioned last week that they were looking at it as a temporary thing. They said you would temporarily not have access to these features. Have they confirmed at all how long this...
Well, I think it's one of those, like, maybe they're... Well, there's nothing they've said this week about that. So okay. I can't confirm it. But then they also tweeted on... did they tweet it or they wrote it somewhere? No one will have their accounts deleted or lose functionality of WhatsApp on May the 15th because of this update. So I don't know. I don't feel like we're getting all the information.
We're not. It does feel a bit like bullying, doesn't it? It's like we're being held to ransom. It's like, you don't have to sign it. That's fine. But the app will now become useless if you don't. Feels a bit strange.
Just that on its own, the fact that they kind of hold you to ransom... is one of the many reasons why I'm trying to migrate as many of my chats over to Signal as possible. Signal is a WhatsApp alternative. There are others out there, but it's a WhatsApp alternative. Open source. The source code is available for you to examine if you're into that stuff.
It's really good. I mean, obviously, we use it when we talk, and it's basically the same thing as WhatsApp. The only issue is that a lot of people either don't know about it, and they obviously haven't listened to our podcast, which is on them. And they don't know that these security and privacy policy issues are happening. That everyone just agrees to it without knowing about it. They're deeply entrenched in it. I've got a lot of group chats with friends that are still on WhatsApp and almost will never migrate over. So it's a difficult one to fully commit to moving over, I think.
I think what they're kind of banking on is that, you know, a lot of people can't really be bothered. So they can kind of just keep pushing, just kind of keep moving inch by inch. Just hoping that people kind of accept the status quo and then they can do a little bit more and then accept the status quo and they can do a little bit more.
Yeah.
I think eventually, they need to make money from it somehow. So, you know, their platform is that they need to sell our data to be able to fund the platform and deliver ads to us. So yeah, I think it's, yeah. Whereas platforms like Signal, they're funded by donations. They're like, you know, they're like a foundation, like Wikipedia, which is, as I said, it's free.
Sort of by the people, for the people kind of thing.
Yeah, by the people, for the people. So anyway, so that's, we'll keep an eye on that. Keep an eye on what WhatsApp are doing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Those cheeky little monkeys. what have you got next, Rob?
How would you like to be out of a job, Michael? How much would you enjoy doing this podcast but without actually doing this podcast? Interesting concept, right?
Yeah. Yes. Do we still get our handsome pay that we get?
Massive
from,
payout. Yeah.
That we get from our,
the royalties,
all of our sponsors, yeah, the royalties, the syndication rights.
All that stuff, all the streams of revenue will still be there. We'll still be on the podcast. It'll still be us.
All the merchandise.
But our voices, the merch, Lara Croft merch. it's, well, there's a platform released by a company called Veritone, which allows you to clone your voice using artificial intelligence.
Yes.
The platform is called marvel.ai. And it essentially requires a big bank of recordings of someone's voice.
Oh, so not a big bank. Sorry, I thought you said a big bank.
It requires a big bank to store all the money that it costs to pay for this service.
And a big bank of computers.
So it requires a big bank of previous speech from you, and it will pass it through and play it to this AI who will learn, machine learning, kind of, how to recreate your voice without you having to say anything. So they'll have a pre-programmed version of you ready to go to say anything that you want. So you could, theoretically, they're saying an influencer or a celebrity could be asleep, but they will be live on the radio, they will be recording adverts, they'll be recording podcasts, and they'll still be able to retain the copyright to their voice, and they'll still be able to retain the charges for providing these services, but they won't have to do anything. They'll just have to agree to it and get the money. How crazy is that?
I don't know if I like that.
It's really creepy.
I think that's a bit too far.
Yeah.
I do another podcast, and I record voiceover for said podcast. And so I work with a producer, and wonderful producer, and she puts together a script for me. Mm. And it's in this platform called, I think it's called Notion, I think the platform is. But if I wanted to, I could sign over my voice to Notion. Not sign over, that's not the right word. I could basically go through like a wizard,
yeah,
like a tool, and verify that I'm who I say I am. And when I record my voiceover, it gets transcribed into Notion. And then if I say words wrong, the producer I work with, she can basically delete my words and type
from the audio.
From the audio, so you can, so it's like it kind of writes it out as like a paragraph. So if I said like, "Hello, my name is Michael Burt," yeah, she could delete Burt and type Bird, and it would say, "Hello, my name is Michael Burt," and it would come out in my voice.
Wow.
So that's so the technology creepy. Exists. It doesn't, as far as I'm aware, it doesn't work particularly well for like big sentences. Like if you do a single word, you can kind of hide the rubbishness.
I think that's the thing. Previously, it's been quite short bursts of speech or little sections, like you say. But they're touting that this platform, Marvel AI, will be able to do, you know, full podcast episodes. I mean, it's obviously difficult because you won't be able to plan in all the transactions, but the back and forth between people, you won't be able to necessarily plug all that in.
Interactions.
Obviously, everyone's a robot talking to each other.
Gosh, you're talking about banks. You're just
all about the money.
All money bags. Yeah, fair enough.
It's actually my platform.
Yeah,
everyone go buy Marvel AI. It's not. But yeah, I think it's really
Marvel
creepy.
AI.
We could be out of a job, out of this very, very special job that we've got right now.
This very high-paying, high-flying job that we've got.
Yep. So okay. You're creeped out by it. I'm also creeped out.
Yeah, I don't like it. I don't like it. Not a big fan, but I think it's inevitability, isn't it?
It is inevitable, and there'll certainly be celebrities out there, you know, for like a voiceover for an advert on TV that they don't really care about, but they could just say yes, I'll agree to doing that.
Or if they don't speak another language,
that's
probably where I'd come in. I guess you could, because it's just sounds, isn't it?
Wow.
Todos los días. Yeah, like you could get, you know, George Clooney to speak Japanese.
This could be quite big.
We come up with some fantastic ideas on this podcast.
We do.
Anyone looking to invest,
just listen to us.
Just
Elon.
Just listen. We've got fantastic ideas. Yeah, exactly. All right. So the next news item I'd like to talk about. Mm. So I'm a big fan of smart home. I've recently moved home. It's something that I'm spending a lot of time thinking about and doing.
Mm. Yes, I saw from The Garden last week that you'd implemented a very fancy lighting system. You gave me a little bit of a light show, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
Very impressive.
thank you very much. So so one of the things that are really frustrating with smart home, if anyone has attempted to do any smart home stuff, you probably will maybe feel the pain from this, but there are loads and loads of smart devices out there, but they're not all compatible with each other. And they don't really play nicely with each other. And they sometimes you need to purchase hubs, and then it crowds your Wi-Fi. It just causes loads of problems. So, you know, you could buy a smart light bulb, but it might only work with Amazon Alexa. And then you want to buy a smart lock and it only works with Google Assistant. And you want to buy a smart doorbell and it's all just a bit of a mess. So there is a alliance that has been formed called Project CHIP, which I think I've talked about before, which stands for Project Connected Home over IP.
Nice.
They have rebranded and renamed themselves, and they will now be known as Matter, like dark matter.
Make it matter.
Matter.
Yeah.
And the alliance is made up of a load of device manufacturers, over 100, including, very importantly, Apple, Amazon, Google, and Samsung, the four big players in the smart home space. And they are looking to release devices in the next year. And at launch, Matter will support Amazon Alexa, Google Assistant, Siri, as well as Ethernet. That's a connectivity, I suppose. Wi-Fi, Thread, and Bluetooth Low Energy. So what that basically means is that should be the days where you'll have to, you know, go and look at, pick up something on the shelf and be like, oh, does this support? I want to use it.
Look for the little logo, haven't you? Whatever you're using.
All you have to do is make sure it has the Matter logo, which looks like three arrows facing each other with the tops kind of curved around. And that's all you'll need to look for. And if it does that, then it'll support basically any smart home.
Cool. That's impressive.
So, and there are a lot of devices probably... Sorry, you go.
I was going to say, how many devices do we think are going to be using Matter, or do we still think they're going to stick to...
Well, there'll be quite a lot of firmware updates to support Matter.
So previously existing devices.
Yeah, so that's cool. I suspect quite a lot of devices, you can just do a firmware update.
Yeah.
So Nanoleaf released bulbs using a protocol called Thread, which I just mentioned earlier. Mm-hmm. So they probably will inherently support Matter just because the platform that's being used. But I think, this is great, because one of the things I hate is incompatibility with devices. I also hate e-waste. Mm-hmm. And so if device manufacturers can just do firmware updates, and then they can start making it compatible. Because at the moment, there are a lot of smart home devices, and there are a lot of hacks to get smart home devices to play nice to each other.
But it's a complicated thing, though, isn't it? You don't want to make it complicated.
Pain.
It's not for the mainstream at all if you want to merge all sorts of ecosystems together. So this is really cool. It just makes it easier. Everyone wants a smart home, I think, maybe. But, you know, actually having it... Will that mean that the... So one of the benefits of having Apple as an ecosystem to run your smart home from is that they're very security conscious. Will this compromise this? It won't enable data sharing to Amazon?
That's the big question. Well, I think it's just the way in which your smart home assistant handles that information. So as I understand it, Amazon and Google send your data away from your home, as I understand it. Don't quote me on it, and I think so does Samsung. Apple try and process it in your home, unless it's a Siri command, in which it sends the Siri command to a server and then comes back to your home and says, this is what the command is. The advantage of that is it means that if you lose internet connectivity, you can still use, you know, smart switches and your phone within the network to tell your devices to do things. But as I understand it, some of the Amazon and Google devices don't do that quite so well.
So as long as you're using like the ecosystem equivalent, like the hub for each ecosystem, you'll still get their benefit. So if you use an Apple Pod, HomePod, you'll still be yet on the Apple ecosystem. You'll just be able to use other devices.
Yeah, I would have thought so. I mean, we shall see. I suppose it's probably up to the device manufacturers on how they implement it as well, because there are quite a few ways that you can implement these things. So, yeah, we will see. I think it's really exciting and it's really good. And I think this is going to be the year where smart home is probably going to burst onto the scene a bit more. I think Apple are going to start to take it seriously. And I think we're going to see some big updates from Apple in the Worldwide Developer Conference, which is later next month. I think they're going to be releasing some updates, hopefully, to their equivalent, which is called HomeKit.
Nice.
So we shall see.
Very exciting.
Rob.
Yes.
What have you got next on your list?
I have a little update to something. Ooh. I mentioned last week. So last week we mentioned the argy-bargy between Apple and Epic.
What's a game?
Games platform.
Who is a
game? What is a game? Well,
how
it's now been decided that Roblox, when is a game?
Exactly.
We've now been told that Roblox, the game in question at the time, is no longer a game. It's not a game. Do you know what it is? Can you guess what Roblox is now defined
as? For app? No, I don't know. Tell me, what is it?
It's an experience. It's not a game. It's an experience, which is a very interesting definition, because surely everything is now an experience. An experience should cover everything. If you do a game you're playing, you're having an experience. If you're using an app, you've got an experience. Like, it seems like a very, very broad term to now define that as, but that is what it's being called. It's being plastered all over their website, all over the experience platform. Yes, it's now an experience. There you go.
Get off your game, Rob.
I'm not a game. On a game.
I'm having an experience. All right.
Yeah, I mean, it's a weird one. It's a really, really weird one. And I think, to be honest, I think most of the gaming industry is looking at this and going, what are they doing? This is so strange. Like, I don't think many other people in the gaming industry have ever thought about what defines a game quite to this extent.
So a Roblox kind of, is it Roblox?
Roblox.
Are they loyal to Apple? Is this what's happening?
I believe so. I think, they're quite closely linked. So obviously, Apple have decided it's an experience, and now they've changed all their marketing. So, I believe, they're very heavily linked together.
Yeah.
Weird.
Well,
it's just
odd.
I'm not sure how I feel about that. And now it will cause questions over all sorts of other games and apps on the ecosystem.
Yeah.
You know, what is Candy Crush? Is Candy Crush an experience? Is it a game?
I know it's a
time sink.
That's the phrase I was looking for.
There you go.
Yeah, it's a time sink. Well, last story from me. Do you know what Capture is, don't you?
I do. That is
Capture.
The
what's a Capture?
Prove that you are a human and not a robot.
Do you get as frustrated as I get doing them? Because I really annoys me when I have to tell them what traffic lights are.
Oh, that one.
Number
one. Because there's the one where you just click a box and you say, I'm not a robot.
I'm not a robot.
And it's fine. But then there are those ones where you've got to click every square that contains a traffic light. And you get that square that has the tiniest fraction of the traffic light in it. You say, does this count? Does this not count?
It annoys me. I use quite a privacy-heavy browser, so I get that all the time. And it's really annoying. And I also feel like I'm doing Google's work for them. I'm like, because I'm training their machine learning platform. I don't know if you know about machine learning, Robert.
No, please explain it to me.
It's where machines learn. Their machine. It really annoys me. I'm just like, you should be paying me for this. Anyway, and obviously it's just annoying because it's always like when you're like buying tickets for something.
And you've got a countdown.
The time is
counting
down. You're like, I'm not a robot. Can you prove it?
And they're always really weird, like blurry pictures taken from, is it from like Google Street View or something?
Yeah. Oh, and they always use American terms as well. It's like,
find all the trash cans. There are
find
no
all
trash
the crosswalks. Cans. Yeah. What's a crosswalk? Find all the fire hydrants. Well, there are no fire hydrants in the UK, so I don't know what a fire hydrant is. I'm looking for those tiny yellow and blue posts that have got numbers on it. Who is a fire hydrant?
Yeah, why
honestly, is a fire hydrant? It gives me, it fills me with rage in a way that I shouldn't be filled with rage.
Okay.
In a similar way to if somebody parks in my designated parking space when I live in the flat. It's that level of rage.
That's an immense fury that comes from you then.
I don't get angry. I don't get road rage. I don't get angry at anything. But when somebody parks in my parking space, Caroline, my wife, she was like, just calm down. I'm like, no, I am going to,
I think
nothing. Obviously,
you
I did
pick
nothing.
Up the car yourself. It's so much rage. Coursing through your body.
Exactly. So that's how much rage captures give me.
Okay.
So when I saw this news article that our friends at Cloudflare are looking at creating
an
alternative.
Capture to electric Boogaloo.
They're making Capture to electric Boogaloo.
Wow.
So there's have you heard of the YubiKey before?
The MeebyKey?
The YubiKey. Not the MeebyKey. Oh, yeah, I see what you did there. YubiKey.
MeebyKey.
The YubiKey. Have you heard of the YubiKey before?
I haven't heard of the YubiKey. What is the YubiKey?
Maybe it's YubiKey. I don't know. It's spelled with a Y. I call it YubiKey. So the YubiKey are these. They look like little USB, like flash drives. Mm-hmm. But essentially, they allow you to. It's like two-factor authentication. So I don't know if you've been on websites where they send you a text and you put in a password.
Yeah.
Well, the other thing that you can do is you can use these YubiKeys and you can basically have it plugged into your computer and that is your second factor of authentication. Because the whole two-factor authentication is something you have, something that you know. Mm. And that's why they send you texts and things like that. Now, I don't want to go down that rabbit hole of how text messages on two-factor authentication isn't a particularly secure way of doing it. But the other option is you can get these YubiKeys and that loads of websites support them. Anyway,
okay.
Cloudflare, which is a security company. They do, I'm not going to bore you what they do. But they are looking at getting rid of Capture completely and basically, using these keys or alternatives to, say that you're a human. And that's basically all you have to do is click a little bit like on Google, click that I'm not a human, and then just go.
So you'd have to have this YubiKey plugged into your computer, and then you just click a box that says I'm a human, and that's it.
Exactly, and they call it it really rolls off the tongue. This one, a cryptographic attestation of personhood.
Wow. But what is personhood? Is it an experience or is it a game?
That reminds me of that subreddit called Outside. Have you ever seen that?
I don't think I have.
There's a subreddit called Outside, and it's basically people pretending that the life that they're living, the life that we all live, is a game. So there's lots of things like, can anyone tell me how to, or like, can anyone give me any pointers on level 30, i.e. when you turn 30? Or like
this boss battle,
things like that.
Boss encounter.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly it, yeah. Yes, anyway, so I think it's a great idea. Because I get really annoyed with the captures, as I said, and I think that I think Google and Cloudflare have had a bit of a falling out, which is probably why Cloudflare are trying to
go their own way
to do this. But yeah, I think that's
useful.
A great idea.
The only concern I have about that is that if it's a physical device that you need to have,
yes,
you're probably not going to have it plugged in all the time. So you might put it in a drawer, or you might lose it. That seems
okay. Well, what if they can develop ones that connect via some sort of secure chip on your computer?
Well, that sounds better.
Yeah.
So it would be internal to the computer already.
Well, no, you have it maybe on your key ring. Or maybe it's your phone. Maybe your phone has some sort of, secure chip on it, like the TPM chip that you get on some device. Yeah, in fact, they have that secure enclave, I think is what Apple call it. Maybe something like that, and then as long as you have your device
nearby.
Well, we're just talking about two-factor authentication here, aren't we?
Okay.
Cool. Okay. Well, there we go. That is the last news. Have you got anything else to talk about?
Not really news, but the Mass Effect Legendary Edition has been released this week, and I've been playing a lot of that. It's fantastic.
Oh, has it?
Yeah. It's a full remaster for all three of the Mass Effect original trilogy. So you got the whole story in 4K, 60 frames per second, and it's a good time. It's one of my favorite games of all time. It's a good story.
What was that?
It's just me bumpy into a keyboard. I get very excited and animated when I start talking about Mass Effect. Yeah. So,
You have to bump the keyboard. That's how you
always bump the keyboard. That's how you turn it on. Yeah. Yes. So I've been playing a lot of that this week, and it's a good time. So anyone out there who lives and dies by my game recommendations, I would I'd go get that one if you can.
Highly recommend Mass Effect Ultimate Trilogy
Legendary Edition. Yeah.
Legendary Edition.
It's got my let's brand it the Murgatroyd Moolah Award. It deserves your Moolah.
No, the Murgatroyd Merit.
That's much better.
The Murgatroyd Merit.
The Murgatroyd Merit. There you go. Mass Effect. You've got the Murgatroyd Merit. Five.
How many Murgies? How many Murgies do you give
at
it?
At least five Murgies out of five, right there.
Merc Whoa! Faces. Five Murgies.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just beards. They're just beards.
You know what I should do? I should start my own cryptocurrency with my own face.
Called Murgies. Murgie coin.
It's big.
Yeah.
There you go.
You've got to hold Murgie coin to the moon.
Yeah. That was the other thing I saw, that Elon Musk, allegedly, he wants to sort of use Dogecoin to fund a satellite. So it'll be a special satellite that's going to be funded by Dogecoin. It's going to go to the moon. So you know the whole speech around Dogecoin is that you hold the coin until the price rises and it goes through the roof and to the moon.
To the moon.
So now Dogecoin could literally be going to the moon through the use of this satellite. And knowing Elon Musk, he'll probably brand it with a big picture of the dog on the satellite and set it up. So I think that's it. I think that's the end of the show. And with that, I think, it's definitely time for us to end the show. We'll come back next week with a much cleaner final product. So thank you very much for listening to this episode of Interneted. We hope you've enjoyed it. Interneted is hosted, produced and written by Michael Bird and me, Rob Murgatroyd. If you've got any suggestions for us or you'd like to talk to us at all, please send us a voice message on our website, anchor.fm/interneted.
And we're releasing episodes every week. So to make sure you don't miss out on our next episode, do hit subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And don't forget to give us a cheeky 5-star rating. So thank you so much for tuning in, and we hope to see you next week for the next episode of Interneted.